for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn-out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to American Warrior Radio. A special welcome to all our new Sacramento listeners tuning in on News Radio KFBK and Talk 650 KSTE. Great to have you part of our little family. Part of my day job involves lobbying. Now, while a rezoning hearing or a liquor license discussion can sometimes get a little sporty, when I put on a suit and tie in the morning and leave the house, my wife doesn't have to worry about me coming back home safe. Most of us just don't think about it. That's the way it should be. We don't have to think about it because there are hundreds of thousands of men and women across the country in our communities whose families have to think about such things. They are sworn to protect and serve, and they do so 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It certainly seems appropriate time to remind everyone about these members of our community. So joining us on American Warrior Radio today is a man who does wear the badge. He is also the founder and host of a podcast called On the Blue Line. You can find that at ontheblueline.com. Wayne Mulder, welcome to American Warrior Radio.
Ben, thank you very much. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's an honor for me because I came across you via my good buddies at Heroes Media Group.
Cool. They are my good buddies as well. In fact, what Adam and them are doing there, it's amazing what they're doing and the services that they're offering and the people they're working with. So that's great.
Now, Wayne, my regular listeners know this story, but because, well, for the benefit of those folks joining us in Sacramento, let me go over it again. I went to college I was studying criminal justice, and I volunteered for 2 years on the graveyard shift at the pretrial release program at the local county jail. I did about a dozen ride-alongs. And right around my junior year in college, what I learned was that I was not cut out to be a police officer. My threshold for knuckleheads doing dumb stuff was just way too low, and giving me a gun and a badge would be a bad idea. So I took a different route. But what was Wayne's path?
So that's a great question. And you're right. There is a certain level of patience, I think, that has to come with this career. For me, my path was a little different, Ben. I actually came into law enforcement when I was older. So I was in my early 30s. Prior to that, my years in my 20s and so forth was all around starting a landscape company. I worked in the design build industry, and then I had moved that company to Florida. It was kind of a series of happenstance and events that led to law enforcement. The ironic thing being, the one thing I never intended to be was a cop. So as you can imagine, and as you saw in other states, such as Arizona, California, Florida was no different when the housing crisis struck. And that had a lot to do with me leaving the landscape industry. And I found myself in a position where I was looking for a job. And my first inclination was actually on the wildlife side of the house. I was thinking, well, these guys, they are law enforcement. And it's more in line with, I had been used to working outside most of my adult life. And I thought, well, let me go down this road. You get to drive cool machines and so forth. Well, the state, because of all the issues you were having with the housing crisis and the economy crashing, was very slow to hire. In fact, that process was a 2-year process at the time.
Wow.
So I ended up going through a local academy, and that is kind of, to me, a formative and a foundational thing, because as I went through the local academy, I met these officers who'd been in the career field for 10 to 15 years. And as they told their stories, I was like, well, I kind of like that. Well, I enjoy writing. It was kind of funny, Ben, it was the boring parts of law enforcement that I actually resonated with me. And I'm like, well, I enjoy writing. I enjoy working with people. I enjoy talking to people, hearing their stories. And that's kind of what led me down the road of thinking, you know what, maybe this is what I should do next. And there were a few other things that happened. And fortunately, I've been doing this for about 9 years now.
Now, Wayne, a lot of great stuff on Heroes Media Group, a lot of great podcasts and shows there. But I tell you, the reason I wanted to have you on at this time in our society, it's interesting to me that so your podcast is produced and hosted by law enforcement for law enforcement. But it's interesting to me that the quote that jumped out to me on your webpage is, and I read this specifically, geared to help cops find success in what really matters, your life outside the badge. And part of what I wanted to do today is just because so often people see the badge or the uniform and they think that you're not people. They think that you're not human beings. And I think a way for our society to get around what we're experiencing right now is for more folks to get that in their head. And I'm guessing
that's part
of why you do the show.
It absolutely is. And I couldn't agree with that sentiment and that statement more. In fact, that's a lot of why I do it. I started the show in March of 2019. And for me, again, being older, I feel like I've always had a little bit different perspective than I can't even imagine the guys who started in this career in their early 20s or even myself. I just recently interviewed a guest who said he started when he was 19. I look back at who I was and how I thought at 19, and I can't even imagine that. However, one thing that I've been passionate about with working with younger people, I also am actively, I teach at our academy as well. And I want to highlight the fact that you are more than just a job. Law enforcement's a vocation, just as when I was a landscaper, that was my vocation, or when I've done other things, those were jobs. But it doesn't have to define me. What defines me, what matters are really, I mean, that is part of it, and it will certainly change who you are, which we can get more into that in a little bit. But it also, there's so much more with your family and so forth. And what I saw with younger people, and older ones as well, but often with younger people in their 20s when they come in this career, it becomes all of whom they are. So whether they get this job and they finally have this badge and they've come through a lot, you know, they went through the academy. Nowadays, they probably have a degree, at least a 2 or 4 year degree in criminal justice. And they finally get into this career. And then all of a sudden, it consumes them. They're picking up off duties and extra duties so that they can make a little bit extra money on the side. And what suffers? Family life suffers, relationships suffer, and all these other things start falling apart. So in March of 2019, looking at myself and doing a little reflection and saying, you know, I've heard the stories and I've seen what people who've been in this career 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. When I first came on, I had an FTO tell me, you're going to be divorced. And you're going to be cynical. And when I first started, I was like, why are you telling me this as a new officer, that I'm going to be cynical and that I have to get divorced? Because that is just setting us up for failure. So I wanted to look at it from the other side of that equation and provide people with not only showing the human part of who they are, but also the tools and resources for life outside the badge.
And Wayne, I guess, you know, when I think about what, you know, I led into the show with what it's like to leave the house in the morning and kiss your spouse goodbye and you know, sit and your kids don't know if you're coming home. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, that's got to be a very real thing. But just like you don't want an officer bringing their job back into the household, you don't want home life interrupting what they do out there on the streets, because they need to be focused.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, both. Both are completely accurate, Ben, and you see both. And some of it's inevitable with the job because we're in a life and death business, right?
Sure.
So, sadly, some of that is going to come with it. In fact, you state the whole the coming home safe and, you know, your loved ones and so forth. There's nothing probably, and this may not be the best way to attack it, but when a scene happens that's going to keep you late, let's say you're typically home at 5 a.m. and now it's 6 a.m., 7 a.m., and you send a text to your loved ones and say, hey, if you see the news, don't worry, I'm okay. Nothing stresses them out more than that text that says, don't worry, I'm okay, because now they have a feeling that something really, really bad happened and that you were probably a part of it. So there is that part of it, and you have to have those hard conversations with, you know, if you get a phone call, that's probably a good thing. If two senior officers knock on the door, that's probably a bad thing. And those are realizations that a lot of people outside the military and law enforcement and other related careers don't often think about. You know, from my time when I was a detective, something I talk about a little bit on my show from time to time is even the perspective change when you come home. It's not normal for a parent, at least from my understanding, to come in and open the door and look to see at the chest of their child to see whether or not they're breathing. But over a period of time in law enforcement, because of the things we see, because of the things that we experience, it's not uncommon to look at them and just say, okay, is the chest rising and falling? Okay, we're good. You know, it's just really weird, the psychological and the mental changes that you go through.
Wayne, that is absolutely horrifying, but precisely why I wanted to have you on the show. Unlike you, well, you podcast guys have to pay for your show too, so we're going to take a quick break, Wayne, if you don't mind. When we come back, I want to talk about some of those hard issues going on right now. I just read an article about what life was like without cops in the 1800s in San Francisco, and it was no bueno. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia, joined by Wayne Moeller of On the Blue Line. You can find out more on theblueline.com. We'll be right back.
Every day, your safety and freedom is protected by the service and sacrifice of our first responders and military. Please join us in this community effort to build the Southern Arizona Veterans and First Responders Living Memorial. A place to celebrate those who have paid the price for our freedom and those who continue to defend it today. Help create a space where these memories, past, present, and future, will live forever. Learn more and donate by visiting vfrm.org.
Diamondback has been your hometown source for all of your shooting and personal protection needs for over 17 years. We stock handguns, shotguns, and rifles from all of the major manufacturers, including Glock, SIG, Smith & Wesson, Ruger, Colt, LMT, H&K, CZ, Mossberg, and Springfield. You will find the biggest selection of holsters in Southern Arizona at Diamondback, along with all the accessories needed to maintain your firearms. Don't forget optics and the best ammo prices. AR parts are available from Magpul, Troy, Volter, GG&G, Surefire, and Odinworks. We are a Class 3 dealer, so be sure to ask about silencers. They're legal to own and hunt with in Arizona, and they make shooting more enjoyable. Training classes for novice through advanced students in pistol, rifle, and shotgun are now available. Pick up a schedule today for more details. We now have a full-time gunsmith on site. Everything from basic gun repairs to custom metalwork and Cerakote finishing. Diamondback Shooting Sports is located at 7030 East Broadway and is open 7 days a week. 886-8338. Find us at dbackshootingsports.com.
To those of you holding the blue line, listen up. Since opening their doors, the Trident Grill has always supported the men and women who wear the badges of our local, regional, and federal law enforcement agencies. That is why right now, all four Trident Grill locations and the Trident Pizza Pub are offering a 50% discount to any uniformed law enforcement professional. All day, every day. 50% discount on your meal for any uniformed law enforcement officer at all Trident Grill restaurants. Visit TridentGrill.com for menus, hours, and locations. Thank you, and stay safe.
It's Chris
and Corbin,
those guys from Tucson Appliance Company. Right now, we have a store full of appliances ready for same or next day delivery. We're being real good sports about it. Only at Tucson Appliance, where low prices are already par for the course.
But right now, we're really knocking it out of the park with discounting items even more.
The best appliance store in Tucson.
Get slam dunk savings now.
Only at Tucson Appliance Company, where our low price is your priority.
These days, we're all paying more attention to our health, but when's the last time you thought about your doctor?
Do you have your doctor's personal cell phone number? We do, and she answers personally.
Does your doctor recognize the expense of health care and only bill in 15-minute increments? Do they care enough about your privacy to only maintain paper records? Does your doctor make house calls? Ours does.
Dr. Lori Thomas is our hometown family doctor. She practices medicine the old-fashioned way. We love her approach, and you will too.
Be healthy and happy by visiting LoriThomasMD.com and tell her American Warrior Radio sent you.
Pima Community College is proud that some 2,000 student veterans or their dependents attend PCC each year. Our Veterans Services staff is dedicated to help student veterans secure their full GI benefits and successfully transition into school. Pima offers 8-week sessions on Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. Evening classes are a great fit for students with a busy schedule. Pima provides free counseling and resources for veterans who want to resume their education. You may be able to get college credit for what you learned during serving. Call 206-2266 or visit pima.edu/veterans to learn more. Pima Community College, committed to serving those who have kept America free.
I've been a fan of Jen and Eli Crane since they first came on our show following Bottle Breacher's appearance on Shark Tank. The staff at Bottle Breacher used 50 caliber ammunition downrange. They now use them to produce the best gift and promotional products on the market. American Warrior Radio uses logo-branded Bottle Breachers, and our fans love them. Now, you as a listener can save 20% when you visit BottleBreacher.com and use the code AWR20. Truly unique and personal company gifts made by veterans. Visit BottleBreacher.com and enter the American Warrior discount code AWR20. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're chatting with Wayne Mulder. Wayne is an active duty law enforcement officer. He's also the producer and host of just a great podcast called On the Blue Line. You can find those at ontheblueline.com. And Wayne, I know that maybe the original intention that you had in mind was for this to be heard and shared amongst the law enforcement community. But given what's happening in our society today, I wish more civilians would go and listen to some of those podcasts.
I definitely agree with you. I think there's a message, and it's funny. I actually have a lot of civilians that are starting to listen to it. So even though my intent was helping law enforcement officers and their personal lives, there has been this shift where I'm definitely having the opportunity to educate the public as well with kind of the human side of what law enforcement does.
Well, let's talk about that, because I had 3 years of criminal justice, so I know absolutely everything.
Of course.
You probably run into that a lot on the streets. Let's not go there. But there's things that people need to hear. And let's just start. I'm a middle of the road kind of guy. I always try to be open to different opinions and new ideas, but let's just say eliminating police departments, complete non-starter for me. The concrete, the glue of a civilized society is law and order. So can we agree on that we just can't? No. Gotta have cops.
We can. Definitely agree on that, Ben. And I think I think you made a very good point. In fact, it's something that I had written down in my notes as well, that when you made the statement that that's a non-starter, that's the thing with differing opinions, right? If you have one opinion and I have another opinion, we can't start with a non-starter or with something that mm-hmm. isn't going to get us some sort of middle ground. So we can have a real conversation about, hey, I don't like how this happened. What can we do to prevent this? And that's a conversation you and I can have, and we can come to some positive things, point out a few negative things, and we can make some real change. But if we start with, well, what I want to do is get rid of you, well, that's not probably going to lead to anything positive.
And Wayne, later in the show, I want to get to some solutions. I don't want to just present problems. I want to talk about some answers from both of our perspectives. But let's take a little more nuanced tact that has come up. So the idea of sending social workers to a domestic violence call versus an armed law enforcement officer, explain to folks why domestic violence calls can be one of the most dangerous that you and your comrades go to. Or if they're not, tell me they're not.
Well, no, they absolutely are. I mean, there's a few that can be on that list, but I would say domestic violence calls statistically, as you know and as we've seen, are one of the most dangerous. And really, the reason is because it's not going to end well. So no matter what you do, there's a few misconceptions out there. So let me address that first. There's this misconception that I hear from time to time that if law enforcement gets called out to a domestic violence or domestic battery, would be the term in Florida, a domestic battery call, then someone is definitely going to jail. That's not in and of itself a true statement. There still has to be something called probable cause. So we'll just assume that that exists. Once that exists in the state of Florida, you're looking for something called the primary aggressor. And the reason that they turn very dangerous very quickly, oftentimes, is that once you've made a decision that somebody is going to be placed under arrest, the other party now is no longer concerned about whatever happened prior to your arrival, and they now no longer like you. And that's where oftentimes we'll have the other party jumping on the back of a police officer or a myriad of other things that can happen, where now they are no longer concerned about that battery incident that happened, and they're now turn their anger or whatever towards law enforcement. And that's one of a few reasons why they can be very dangerous calls.
So
when you talk about, go ahead, Ben.
Well, to me, so that's why the, reduce the funding to police departments is so counterintuitive, because if anything, there needs to be more funding. And I'm not talking about, you know, Homeland Security armed vehicles. I'm talking about better education, so that I've got one individual there who can, A, de-escalate the situation, has the training and the experience to do that, but is also prepared if things go south. So I would guess my, coming back to answers, Wayne, my short answer is let's get more money so we can train our law enforcement officers to be better prepared to better deal with these situations, so we don't have to send a social worker and a cop.
I definitely agree with you, Ben. Now, the whole, and that's the thing within the term defund the police movement, or how, whatever term you want to use, but it's, like you said, it's counterintuitive. The issue there, if your goal is change, or reform, or whatever it is, and those are all good, lofty things. Like, we should always be in a continuous state of improvement. So anyone that gets to the point that says everything I'm doing is right on any side of the equation is probably, first of all, needs to be more humble, but second of all, there's a little bit more going on there as far as there's always improvement we can make. And anyone that understands government or business or anything as far as how that happens, funding becomes a big part of that. So if on one hand you're defunding, but then on the other hand we're like, well, we need more training and we need more ability to deal with these certain nuanced cases such as mental health crises or domestic violence training or whatever that situation may be, then we actually need to fund that training, like you said. And I think that's the issue. Now, as far as social workers with police, that in and of itself, in certain cases, there are some very forward-thinking agencies that are doing similar things. Where it becomes more concerning to me is when we take the police out of the equation and we're like, we're only going to send social workers into this incident.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to be better to have law enforcement deal with the reactive, which is by nature what law enforcement is. We're reactive. Somebody calls, an incident happens, whatever it is. There are proactive units within law enforcement, but even those proactive units are typically focused on past incidents that have happened, hence they're still reactive by their what they're actually doing and their mission mindset. But having law enforcement deal with those reactive incidents, those in-progress calls, those just occurred, and then using the social workers in conjunction with law enforcement to stay in tune and to help people get the resources, especially when we get into the subject of mental health. Having the other components there with local behavioral health units and so forth that can go out and talk with these people and kind of help make sure that they stay on their medications, help that we can help solve these problems on the front end. A lot of times then law enforcement from the reactive side doesn't need to even get involved. And we've seen statistically where that can change.
Wayne, tell us about those innovative programs you mentioned. So are they, is the social worker then rolling out with the officer in the same patrol car? Are they dispatched jointly, or how is that actually working logistically on the ground?
So it depends on the agency. Some of them, what it is, it's usually more of a detective, and it all depends. Different agencies are doing different things, but the ones that I'm familiar with, typically it's more of a detective type position, and then they're going out there after the fact. So they're not necessarily going out on the front end when there's a crisis going on. Or a mental health issue that's created to where now we have, say, a subject with a knife or, you know, a whole bunch of different things could happen. That's not typically what they're responding to. However, after that incident has occurred in the coming subsequent days, that's when a unit who is a certified law enforcement officer would go out with someone who's a resource, be it in the mental health community, be it a social worker, you know, whatever that resource is, and they would go out in tandem to then try to steer and direct that person towards programs that are available to help them out. Because that's the goal, right? If we can keep people healthy and in a good place, mentally, physically, et cetera, then law enforcement isn't going to come out there. We're not out looking for these things. These things find us, if you would.
Right, right. Wayne, you touched on something that I definitely want to get to. We probably have to address it after the next break. But one thing that was really taught when I was studying criminal justice, which was 100 years ago, seems like, but the broken window theorem. And I will tell you, it's not a non-starter, but one thing I want to educate people about, data conclusively, and without a doubt, shows that proactive policing prevents and mitigates crime. And I don't think there's any argument against that, which brings us back to the idea of so the last ride-along I was on, Wayne, graveyard shift, we were going call to call to call to call to call. It never stopped. I mean, all night long. I don't know when the officer had time to write his reports, but I'm thinking there was no time to be proactive. There was no time to see a guy who looked a little, you know, sketchy and okay, we should probably just, you know, he's got a broken taillight. Let's find out what's going on with this dude. There was no time to do that because they're responding to people with knives all night long. So when we come back, I'd like to talk about your theories on that and maybe, again, some solutions. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. We're chatting with Wayne Mulder. Wayne is the producer and host of a great podcast. Check it out, onthebluelinedotcom. We'll be right back.
Military life can do a number on your back. Did you know chronic pain affects 44% of military personnel? The Joint Chiropractic is here to help, offering a discount on chiropractic care for active and retired military members and their families. Come in now to experience the Joint's exclusive military pricing of just $19 for your initial consultation, exam, and adjustment. Open evenings and weekends. No appointment or insurance required. Visit thejoint.com for a location near you in Tucson. You have our back. Let us help you with yours.
There's never been a better time to get out and enjoy our great outdoors and improve your health. Whether you're a recreational cyclist or a competitor, check out Tucson Endurance Performance Center. Owner Brian Grasky is an F-16 pilot and competed at the national level. He knows the importance of quality equipment kept in top shape. That's why Tucson Endurance Performance Center has the most experienced techs in town. Check out their variety of bicycles, equipment, and gear at TucsonEnduranceCenter.com or stop by one of their two locations, northeast corner of Oracle and Orange Grove or in the Crossroads Festival Complex at Grant and Swan.
At the Brushfire Barbecue Company, we recognize that the freedoms we enjoy every day are owed to the men and women who have volunteered to protect our nation. We offer a 10% military discount and encourage Tucson to do the same. And the next time you're in the mood to celebrate America, stop by one of our Brushfire Barbecue locations, 22nd and Kolb or Campbell Avenue just south of Glen. Need to feed an army or maybe a small group? Call our catering department or visit brushfirebbq.com. Brushfire Barbecue, Tucson's habit-forming barbecue.
During this crisis, government has taken every opportunity to mask your liberty, making you dependent on them. Don't do that. Let us guide you so you can declare your financial independence. I'm Eb Wilkinson with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. That's imuswilkinson.com. Call us at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
For some people, difficult transitions like retirement, divorce, or loss of a loved one may contribute to feelings of hopelessness or even thoughts of suicide. The risk of suicide is even higher for men over 50 who've served our country, guys like me. Support from friends and family makes such a big difference. Every day, your actions could help save a life. Learn how you can help at VeteransCrisisLine.net.
Trust. Whether you're protecting our streets or our nation, you have to trust the man or woman beside you. Curtis Plumbing has developed a reputation of trust over 40 years, and you can count on their honest, hardworking technicians to properly diagnose and fix the problem the first time. Then Tucson's most reasonable rates, always a discount for seniors and members of our military. From the smallest job to a complete install or remodel, Curtis even provides 24 hours emergency service. 323-7697, CurtisPlumbing.net.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows. Refinance and save money now, or get into your dream home. The Dellinger team at Nova Home Loans finds you the best rate. 440-0516 or azfamilyfirst.com. Sean and Tiffany have a special passion for helping military and first responder families. Anywhere in Arizona, Colorado, California, or Nevada, the Dellinger team, azfamilyfirst.com. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087BK, 0902429. Equal housing lender.
BBG here. COVID crisis or not, for me, a great burger is essential. If that describes you, visit my friends at Divine Bovine on the corner of Wilmot and Speedway. Your nose will confirm you made the right choice even before you open the doors. Unique flavor combinations, lovingly handcrafted from 100% USDA blend of chuck, brisket, and short rib, or my favorite, the farm-raised bison. Trust me, these will be the best burgers you've ever tasted. Always a 10% discount for members of our military and first responders. Start your taste buds dreaming at DivineBovineBurgers.com.
Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ben Bueller Garcia. We're chatting with Wayne Mulder. Wayne is the producer and host of a great podcast called On the Blue Line. You can find more at ontheblueline.com. Wayne, I was thinking on the break, well, two things. One is I'm scratching through my show notes as you're such a great guest. We're not going to have time to get to everything I wanted to, but so I'm trying to prioritize here a little bit. But let's talk about, you know, one of my, if I could be king for a day, I would require every elected official to do one or two ride-alongs. I just think that would be so essential for them to have a better sense as they're making policy and doing budgets as to what you and your comrades face out there. If you were king for a day, Wayne, and you had all the money in the world, how many law enforcement officers would you want out there doing proactive work in the schools, walking a beat versus reactive? Is it 2-1? 1-1, what would be your ideal ratio?
Those are both great questions and great points. As far as the actual ratio, I mean, yeah, 2-1. Here's the thing. As many as you can have, and people are like, oh my goodness, we don't want all those cops out here. That's what's creating the problem. But it isn't. And like you just pointed out before the break, it kind of comes down to that whole proactive side of it. So the more officers that you have that can be enacting programs such as the community policing programs or intelligence-led policing where we're, you know, using the information and the data to kind of target certain areas and certain issues, makes it safer and better for everybody. So the answer kind of is as many as possible, because law enforcement sometimes gets a bad rap on the whole protect side of the protect and serve equation, but there is a service side. And the more resources that we can put into agencies that are very forward thinking and agencies that want to deal with like mental health crisis, deal with the crisis we have right now with overdose deaths and so forth, being able to get on the front side of those, try to get people resources, try to help kids in the schools, all these different programs ultimately helps limit the number of calls and serious incidents that we're going to have to deal with later. So it's a win-win for both the community and for the officers. And if I could, then I also want to touch on the point you just brought up when it comes to doing ride-alongs. And I encourage that right now in the world of COVID, it's probably difficult for people to do ride-alongs with their local agency. But if the listener is there, someone who is actively out there with a voice saying, hey, I think we need to reform some things with law enforcement, but I really don't understand or don't really know all the details of what that job is all about. Absolutely. Most agencies will allow people to come do ride-alongs, and it will give them a true sense. And I encourage them to do it more than once, because you mentioned the night where it was call to call to call to call, and absolutely there's evenings like that, and then there's days where it's hours of boredom with moments of terrifying excitement, which is pretty much the description of law enforcement. So doing it over and over again allows them to get that perspective and to better understand what it's like being in a car for 10 hours or 12 hours and the thoughts that are going on and the way a call comes in and the fact that when those calls come in, the details in them are rarely correct. So you think you may know what you're going to, but it's never what it ends up being, you know, those kind of things.
Sure. And I guess that's what I mean, because people who haven't done that or folks who are judging based on an initial report. And we're seeing that today too, where, I mean, something happens over here and next thing you know, social media is reporting that left was right and up was down. And that's not the truth. And eventually the truth comes out, but folks need to learn a little bit of patience. But Wayne, I tell you that one night, so in my local community, we've always had a challenge funding sufficient officers for our population. And I mentioned that people, you know, someone with a knife, because it became very apparent to me after about the sixth call that we went on of a guy at my front door with a knife. And then we get there and there's nobody, or there may be someone, but there's no knife. And so I asked the officer, I said, look, do you think that people have figured out that unless there's an imminent threat of violence, you guys aren't going to show up? or you know, that call is going to bump down on the list. And he didn't answer my question, but by virtue of not answering it, he answered the question. And
right,
that just people need frankly, the best call that night was the ticket he didn't write to the working mom who was moving her furniture by herself at 2 a.m. while the kids slept and had a taillight out. And that was, I guess that takes me to my next question, Wayne. Laura and I would binge watch Live PD and their affiliated shows. And don't get me wrong, it's kind of fun sometimes to see a real bad guy get tracked by the canine. But it's those positive stories that shows like that would communicate that are now missing. Short answer, we need more of that, Wayne, or less?
I would say more. That's what I liked about those type of shows, is that it really gave people a real perspective of law enforcement. It wasn't Hollywoodized. It wasn't scripted. It really gave you an idea, like you said, of the tickets that weren't written, of the times that you can make a difference in someone's life and to help them out.
The other thing I'd like to see is more folks go through the shoot, don't shoot simulator, because the rapidity with which something can go south is instantaneous. It's blink of an eye. And explain to us a little bit about that so our folks understand, Wayne, what is the, and I'll get the phrase wrong, but there is a protocol on escalation of force. And I don't know if that's standard across all the academies, but what do you teach your police officers on the order of from pat on the head to drawing your sidearm?
So there is, some agencies still teach like use of force continuum and so forth. There are different things that they teach, and that will vary across the country a little bit as far as how use of force escalates and what you go to. A lot of agencies these days are going more to what type of scenario are you in? Are we at a deadly force scenario? And when you're at deadly force, you can be there. Like, you don't have to go through steps. Some people see the use of force continuum, and I see this sometimes with the general public as steps. You know, are we here? Are we here? Are we here? And then why did we escalate so quickly to deadly force? The real answer kind of comes down to what is the threat that's being presented to you as to where you are at. Is it aggressive? Is it, you know, passive resistance and so forth? And then your response has to be appropriate to whatever level of resistance, including and up to deadly force resistance. And I think to that end, Ben, that sometimes there's a misunderstanding that tragic outcomes are a direct result of wrongful action. And that's not true in life any more than it is in law enforcement. You know, that unfortunately we can have a tragic outcome to something and yet everyone have done everything right. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't soul search and look into it and are there things we can do better in the future. But sometimes that outcome really doesn't have anything to do with the fact that everybody did everything right on the front end.
Wayne, even our new listeners will learn that Ben gets at least one dumb question every show, and here it is. It strikes me that the criminals out there have gotten more violent and more aggressive. And a real tipping point for me was that famous bank robbery and shootout in, I think it was in Southern California, and the fact that more law enforcement officers had to start carrying long guns after that situation. And is that your sense out there? I mean, are criminals just, they're quicker to pull a weapon now than they used to be? Or is it that just, am I wrong?
So I can only answer that question anecdotally and from what I've seen. Obviously, I'm sure there is a statistic out there somewhere that would guide us, but you are correct. There does seem to be, let me deal with those, because you mentioned what I believe was the Bank of America shootout in Southern California, that where they were wearing body armor and so
right.
forth, and the officers even in that scenario, because we had gone over it when I was in the academy, were like going to local pawn shops to get appropriate weapons to try to be able to stop the threat. That is a problem. And we live in a time where people have, and no matter where you stand on the issue itself, the fact of the matter is people have weapons and people have military grade weapons and people have, and again, wherever you stand on that, that's what they have. So law enforcement has to be able to reciprocate and keep the public safe with whatever threat they are presented with. And that's sometimes that narrative gets a little messed up because people are like, oh, well, they're militarizing themselves. Well, not necessarily. What they're doing is they're making sure that they have the tools and resources in place to be able to safely and accurately deal with a threat, whatever that may be. So a lot of deputies and officers, depending again, agency, have long guns. Like you said, they have some sort of rifle, but it's not uncommon for them to be presented with someone with a rifle where that tool is going to be something that could save their life or someone else's life.
Wayne, real quick before we take the next break, something else that I think people misunderstand quite a bit is, and I don't know if you call it the 21-foot rule. You know, you say, oh, he only had a knife. Why did you have to shoot him? Explain to our folks how quickly someone can cover 21 feet and why, in some cases, even if you have a vest on, a knife is, to some extent, maybe more dangerous than a pistol.
Well, the vest, most ballistic vests, I know there are some places out there that are working on some different things that I'm sure are coming on the market, but ballistic vests don't stop puncture wounds or puncture instruments. So when you talk screwdrivers and knives and those kind of things, they're not going to stop that from going through them. In fact, smaller round ammunition, oftentimes they're not going to stop either unless you have some of the heavier vests that are meant for rifle rounds, because that small puncturing weapon is just going to go right through it. So that's something, again, these are the kind of things that I think are great conversations because they're kind of misunderstandings among the public. And that's the thing, like with the 21-foot rule and all these different things that we hear is, yeah, oftentimes people can cover that distance quicker than you could even pull your sidearm out of your sidearm up to defend yourself. So that's something people have to understand, too, that these are situations that always the officer would rather use less than lethal. They would, but was that tool even available, and what less than lethal options did they have, and was that the best thing for everybody involved? Because again, it's their safety and the safety of the public.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host Ben Mueller Garcia. We're having a great chat with Wayne Mulder. Wayne is an active duty law enforcement officer and the host of On the Blue Line. Check it out at ontheblueline.com. When we come back, a very direct question: how do good cops feel about bad cops? Stick around, folks. At The Specialist, they know the best quality window tint, paint protection, and alarm systems can defend your car. They do their job whether you're thinking about it or not. The Specialists remind you to take a moment to pause and thank those men and women who are protecting your rights, your freedoms, and your family. Many are doing so today, whether you're thinking about it or not. If you're a member of our armed forces looking to protect your vehicle, please visit any of the three locations in Tucson and one in Sierra Vista. Ask for your military discount. You've earned it. Find out more at az-specialist.com or call 795-430.
Hey friends, if you're thinking of downsizing or selling your home for any reason, there's never been a better time, but don't do it alone. Give my friends David and Rebecca Guthrie from the Hacienda Group a call at 520-406-4702. They have the connections, tools, and support to supercharge selling your home or even helping you buy the perfect place. If you're in the military, ask them about the special Military on the Move program. Learn more by visiting hacienda-group.com or tune in to hear David and Rebecca Saturdays at 11 a.m. right here on KVOI. Long Companies Realty, BR 566-85-4000.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee is working to identify transportation priorities for the region. These priorities will guide development of an RTA continuation plan for projects beyond June 2026. The RTA's current 20-year transportation plan is funded by a state-established, voter-approved special taxing district within Pima County. To learn more about RTA's continuation plan, funding options, and how you can provide input, visit rtamobility.com.
Tucson, getting your thrill on has never been more safe. Defy Tucson, the most awesome extreme air sports park in Pima County, is open once again. They've always been about safety, and now they are exercising even more procedures to make sure your exercise is safe, including the use of antimicrobial spray coating with residual technology. If quarantine made your family bounce off the walls, why not come bounce off of theirs? Always a discount for military and veteran families. On Stone Avenue, just north of Tucson Mall, tucson.defy.com. We defy you to find a more exciting and safe experience in Tucson.
Research shows one in three job-seeking veterans are underemployed, with more veterans asking for help all the time. The mission of the Call of Duty Endowment is to place 100,000 veterans in high-quality jobs by 2024, and we are more than halfway to our goal. Last year alone, we placed more than 10,000 veterans in full-time jobs paying salaries significantly higher than the national minimum wage. And we do this at a cost one-sixth less than government programs. Will you help us reach our goal? You can donate to the Call of Duty Endowment with full confidence. We have received GuideStar's highest rating for transparency and impact. Every donation received goes directly to funding veteran employment programs. Activision Blizzard pays for all endowment operating costs. Help us make a real difference for our veterans today. Visit callofdutyendowment.org to learn more and make your tax-deductible donation today. That's callofdutyendowment.org.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with Wayne Mulder. We're going to have Scully up next. Obscure reference. You probably don't get that ever, do you, Wayne?
Never. Yeah, I may have been called Agent Mulder a few times.
Okay, Yeah, it's kind of like me and Ferris Bueller. Don't get me started. Wayne is an active duty law enforcement officer and the host of On the Blue Line. You can find out more at ontheblueline.com. Wayne, I'm guessing that nobody hates a bad cop more than a good cop. Accurate?
True statement. Absolutely accurate. And kind of one of those things that not only do they hate them, they want to, because it's bad for all of us. It's bad for the industry. It's bad for the public. And so oftentimes they're involved in trying to actively notice things that are like, yeah, this person shouldn't be in this career, and then actively help them move on to something else.
Now, I want to get to some solutions because I know all the elected officials in the country listen to American Warrior Radio and On the Blue Line podcast. One thing surprised me, Wayne. One of the old towns I lived in, an old hometown, there was recently a news report about, and it's a small town, they had, I don't know, maybe 10, 13 officers on the force, but 9 of these officers had been discharged from other agencies. And I think is it called the Brady List? Does that ring a bell?
It does. I know what you're referring to. That's not the proper term, though, but I know what you're...
So I guess the point is, I'm shocked that there's not a nationally linked database where a law enforcement agency, when they're thinking of hiring this officer and they do the standard background check and interviews, wouldn't get some kind of a flag or a notice saying, look, this man or this woman had been fired from 3 other agencies, and can't we just decertify them? Or why is this not happening?
So that's a great question, and I think that that is one of those conversations that certainly can be had. There's a few factors there. Whenever you start talking national databases, you're always going to kind of get that question or that statement about, well, we definitely don't want to go down, depending on one's belief system, that we don't want to go down the national police road and so forth. So you do have that question where you have to be kind of careful there as to different mindsets and different thinking. But in general, I think you're asking a very good question. One thing that I think always has to be brought to the forefront of that question is, why were they let go and what were the circumstances of it? So, yes, there are some horrifying statistics or statements, news articles that we hear and read where it's like, oh, my goodness, this guy shouldn't have even been a cop based on this IA history or history of what he did. And right or wrong, the union got involved and he was able to keep his job or whatever the situation may be. And those are clearly issues that need to be addressed. And I agree with you, probably not a bad idea to address them on a national level so that somebody can't leave, say, Florida, decide to go to California, and then now they're working as an officer there and the problems and issues follow them. So I would certainly agree with you, Ben. I think that to me is the bottom line on all this, is true communication. See, that is something where you and I can come at it and we can be like, okay, well, let's look at the pros, let's look at the cons and draw a solution, because it's not a non-starter.
Wayne, body cams, good, bad, remains to be seen.
So I'd say good, but not for the reason that most would think. When I started, that we did not have body cams. I currently work where we do have body cams. At first, like everything, law enforcement's always hesitant. They're always unsure if it's good or bad. One anecdotal story that I'll tell that I find kind of interesting when body cams came in is, you might get a complaint on somebody and a citizen would call, and in the beginning of it, before everyone was used to them having it, you could simply say, well, ma'am, sir, I'm going to review the body camera footage and then I'll finish getting your information on what occurred. And oftentimes they'd be like, no, that's okay, I withdraw my complaint, and that'd be the end of the conversation. Because a lot of times body cameras actually help save law enforcement. They show that the cops did everything right, and unfortunately something bad then occurred.
Okay. What about, we're running down. We got about 5 minutes left, Wayne. I chose not to go into law enforcement. I'm guessing right now, I mean, recruiting has always been tough, but holy cow, out there on the streets of America right now, what are agencies facing? I mean, straight to the point, why on earth would a young man or a young woman or someone a little more seasoned like you, why on earth would they agree to put up with this?
That is a great question, Ben, and one that I'm hoping to maybe in some small way have a part in answering. You are right. I think that's why we're seeing people who have early retirement options. They're leaving as quickly as they can. If they have side jobs, there was one prominent law enforcement social media personality that had came out after the incident that happened in Atlanta and said, I just can't do this for the liability with my family anymore, and I'm going to leave the field. And I think we're going to see an exodus of a lot of good people. And I think that that is going to play a part in the future of policing. But I think it is still a good career, because if you came into this career to make a difference in people's lives, and I know that's cliche and the whole mission thing and protect and serve, and I know that's all cliche to a lot of people, but the reality is if you stay in this career, if you do a good job in this career, you're going to be motivated by compassion, empathy, and to help other people. And if that's why you came in this career, we're actually at a great time, because you can help paint and show the future of law enforcement. You can help show a community how we can come together and how we can find that middle ground.
Wayne, I saw an interview you did with another guest who's, I think, a retired law enforcement officer, and you touched on the fact that, you know, when you cut the funding and we have trouble recruiting, what you end up are not the picks of the litter. You end up with the last people you want to give a gun and a badge to, right?
You're right. You are absolutely right. And that's the concern, and something that I think we have to be careful with, is we can't lower hiring standards. Kind of going back to your earlier point of having a database and so forth, we can't lower hiring standards just because we're having an issue getting good officers. And so rather, what we need to do, all of us as citizens, need to get involved in the narrative and what can we do to better law enforcement, reform it from a positive standpoint without going down the roads of get rid of law enforcement. And what can we do for the betterment of society and to guarantee that we continue to get good men and women who want to serve their communities?
I tell you, one other suggestion I've got, because, like I said, in my day job, I walk in the political world. People need to get out there and also vote, because one of the challenges that are being faced by our law enforcement officers today is on the prosecution side. The idea that you can have folks that can be arrested 3, 4, 5, 10 times, and they're still walking the streets. So people need to pay attention when you're checking that box for your district attorney or someone like that, you know, your local judges, maybe pay a little more attention, because the last thing Wayne Mulder or one of your comrades wants to see is that bad guy that you've arrested literally maybe the day before out there doing knuckleheaded stuff again.
Yeah. Or we kind of see that revolving door where they get out again and again, and then sadly a major incident happens or someone loses their life or something tragic like that. So you're absolutely right, Ben. Getting out there and voting, I mean, we are not political, but politics definitely influences law enforcement. That's just a true statement. So get out there and exercise that right to vote.
Wayne, we've got just about 2 minutes left, and I'm sure because you're a podcast professional, you can fill all of it except for the last 30 seconds I need to do my promo. So last question for you, Wayne, I guess, is what is a good day for you? When you're done, what does a good day look like for a law enforcement officer? Is it getting home safely and not ending up on YouTube?
I love that statement, and yes, that
I stole it from your Facebook page, so I'll be honest, yeah.
Yes, well, and I think anymore, that's what we all hope for, but yes, getting home safely, now in a more of a leadership, frontline leadership position, making sure my guys and girls, they get home safely. I mean, that's really the core of this job. And a good day is that you can keep focused on the men and women working for you, their mental health. You can serve the citizens, whatever that looks like, whatever those calls are going to be, whether traumatic and so forth. And then you can be there for your family at the end of the day and keep those relationships and those communication lines open. That's a good day. And that really is human. And that's the goal of who we are and what we all should be focused on, whether in law enforcement or not.
Wayne, you wrapped it up with a beautiful little bow. You brought us right around to the beginning of the show. Thank you so much, Wayne Mulder, for spending some time with us today.
Thank you, Ben.
Again, folks, check out onthebluelinedotcom, a great podcast there. And just let me leave you a thought. Most officers interact with someone on what is their worst day. It's a bad day. Think about doing that over and over and over and over again, and then trying to get home to your family and retaining your sanity. That's what we all need to keep in mind. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. This podcast and others can be found at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. We're on Stitcher. We're on Apple. We're everywhere. Check it out and share these important messages. If you support what we do, please visit Patreon.com/AmericanWarriorRadio, Patreon.com, American Warrior Radio. Great to have the folks in Sacramento with us. Until next time, all policies and procedures are remain in place. Take care.